I want to say thank you, everyone, for coming today. Really do appreciate it. And so it's kind of in a newscast format. We are actually very pleased to have in studio with us today one of the longest standing members of, you know, of Microsoft Community Connections, Eric Klaus. So Eric, you know, why don't you just introduce yourself, and then I'll get into my thought leadership, you know, portion of the meeting. Introduce who you are, what you do, and maybe how long you've been in the program, and we'll kind of go from there.
Thanks, Sherman. Hi all, my name is Eric Klaus. I am with FMT Consultants. Been part of the Microsoft Community Connections and Project Lead Gen team now for about 3 years. I've worked extensively with the Microsoft team and really, really have used that to grow and expand our business. So it's been a tremendous resource for me personally.
Fantastic. That is really, really awesome. So, you know, what we're going to be doing today is going to be a little bit different from, you know, what we've done in the past. And let me go ahead and get our we're in a little technical difficulty here. Just 1 second. Start from the beginning. All right. There we go. Okay, resume the slideshow. Sorry, everyone. Okay, so yeah, we're doing things just a little bit differently here, and we're going to be talking about partner, you know, Power BI and the partner and profitability call. Okay, back on track. Thanks, Eric. So really, one of the great things about, you know, this particular deck and what we're going to be talking about today is really kind of going back over the power of business intelligence. Now, one of the things that, you know, we talk about a lot is really about really focusing in on your sales and revenue targets. And focusing your day on sales and revenue targets. And what we're going to be doing in this new format is, one, talking about the partner profitability aspect of Power BI, but also every week we're going to be bringing in a different partner who's going to be talking to us a little bit about, you know, what they're doing in Microsoft Community Connections, how they're making it work for them. You know, Microsoft Community Connections can help you in many, many different ways. And I think it's being lost on a lot of us with, you know, how do we make this work? And it's not necessarily all about doing 100 different presentations, building super large lead lists. Sometimes, you know, you can, you know, earn revenue and drive revenue in different ways through Microsoft Community Connections. And, you know, one of the key ways is really about partnering on this call, partnering with the people that you're talking to. It is really, you know, something else, you know, to see when you find partners like Eric specifically, and the way that they use MCC to further their business. Now, you know, Eric doesn't necessarily do, you know, 100 different presentations on 100 different topics, but, you know, some of the things that he's done, and we'll go into them a little bit later, really revolve around how he's leveraged the community to increase, you know, revenue opportunities, increase income opportunities. And I think that's what's really, really compelling and really, really awesome. So that's really what the, you know, the thought leadership is, and what we want to do is ensure that we provide you with the best possible tools that there are out there. All right, so let's go ahead and move into the agenda here. So the, you know, we've covered the thought leadership. You know, we're going to talk about partner profitability and how, you know, we're going to explain Power BI a little bit to you, a little bit more, and then we're going to get into frequently asked questions. Eugene has taken a step back because we're going to actually throw those over to Eric. Eric has been great about understanding how to do that. Then we'll talk about MCC with Eric Klaus. You know, how has he done this? How has he, you know, become a great partner and really increased his sales and revenue dramatically utilizing this program. Then we'll go into some expectations behind Project Lead Gen and a new initiative that Eugene and I have that's actually going to be applicable to this group. And it's going to be based around some data that we recently looked at, and we found that we have over 300 associations that have been signed up for either simple tech tips or one event, yet we don't have a lot of partners assigned to them. So we're going to be putting together a big initiative behind that. And so it's behind the expectations. We'll go into the partner of the package of the week, And then we'll talk about some of the partner resources. We want to wrap it up. So we got a full day again today, and we look forward to really helping you out. All right. So what are some of the challenges, you know, with Power BI? And this is for everyone. You know, with Power BI, you know, there's a lot of challenges that are affecting, you know, the consumer, right? And one of them is really 59% of all consumers polled really look at business intelligence and see that they have a lack of skills or knowledge to actually adequately grab data that's coming across their desk and actually analyze it and put it to good use. What we've also found is that, you know, only 41% are, you know, 41% of all of the applications are actually integrated, and that's why they're finding, you know, there's some challenges. Well, how do we, you know, pull data from X and Y and Z and bring them in? And then lastly, you know, what are the challenge behind securing the data? Because things have changed considerably in this day and age. You know, in the past, you know, business intelligence has been around for quite a long time. You know, however, you know, the end user, the person who's either trying to pull the data, used to have to wait, you know, a long time before they would get access to it. But today things have changed. So you have security issues there. You have lack of knowledge. And then the other challenge is that now you have more devices connected to the network or to information sources than you had ever done before in the past. Let's take a step back and look at how did, you know, people, you know, get their data before? And data was typically controlled in a single source environment, and you had to pull a report off of, let's say, a SharePoint site, and you take the Excel format and you do the analytics from it, and then you push it back and you have to share it a bunch of different ways. But today it has changed. There's no, you know, the security aspect of, you know, one person controlling the silo of information is really gone now that there's access to all these different types of methods to pull information. So let's get into the evolution of business intelligence. So, you know, you got to take a look at, you know, two different things. You know, corporate BI, right? The corporate business intelligence, and then the self-service business intelligence, which is the end user. And that can either be the IT pro, or it could be, you know, a person that's inside your office, or it could be a person inside the office that is trying to pull you know, documentation. So the evolution is that, you know, things have been changing rapidly, and IT by themselves, the IT pro in the bottom left hand corner is really the silo or the unit that was really responsible for, you know, keeping up with the growing demand of business intelligence. And, you know, what they had to do in the past is really they harvested all of the data from the different places, right? Line of business applications, they'd harvest it. You know, they would, you know, from data marts and different files. And then what they had to do in the past is they'd have to stage the data, right? And they'd have to put it into some sort of an analysis cube, you know, a data warehouse, put it into different silos, and stage it for people to actually put together reports. And then after that, what would happen was the IT pro would basically, in the corporate environment, you know, provision it, you know, put analysis behind it, put reports and dashboards and scorecards, and then they would give that information to the end user. What has changed is that the, you know, end user is really a lot more interested in getting that data ever so quickly. You know, with the change in way technology is being produced and provided for today, you'll find that people need their access to their information now. So what's happening with a lot of different startups that are coming out there is that, you know, the end users are saying, you know, I want to circumvent, you know, basically the IT pro and just get that information by myself real quickly. So it's breaking down those barriers that used to be set up by, you know, the corporate, you know, business intelligence environment, and it's really allowing end users to say, no, I want that stuff now. I'm going to go ahead and grab it because it's not just on-prem data I'm looking for. It might be off of the internet. It might be off some other type of source, something in the cloud that they can actually get access to. So it's really breaking down the barriers with this whole self-service business intelligence, and there's a lot of different players that are really coming into the marketplace. So really the next question really is it possible to control, you know, your environment but also have agility to be able to pull things in a much faster time frame? You know, in the past it could take you 2-3 weeks before you could get the data all rolled up. But now, you know, if you have your own portals and using your own software, you have the ability to pull it almost instantaneously. So if we kind of take a look back at, you know, the previous organizations that were providing this type of information, it was really Oracle and IBM and SAP. And, you know, then you'd have, you know, niche startups and whatnot. But what Microsoft really does is it helps tie in everything together. It can tie in the corporate BI side, but also tie in the self-service model to create a symbiotic environment where you can get real-time information. Now, what is the information that we're trying to get? You know, the information that we're trying to get is really based around data that an end user can get and actually analyze and say, yes, we have a possible trend. So it's trend analysis, it's reporting, it's graphs that you're seeing on Excel spreadsheets. It's information that now they can take that and actually conduct or create business decisions or processes behind the data that they're actually getting. Now, there's the static data and dynamic data, and there's two things. So static is something that is not refreshed in real time, and dynamic is refreshed in real time. And that's really the beauty of the latest and greatest iterations and innovations in business intelligence, is the ability to, you know, grab dynamic data real time. And that's really what Microsoft does with our Power BI platform. So the next really question is okay, why use business intelligence? Now, if you see on this next graph, you're going to see the Gartner report. And the Gartner probably takes a look at it and sees, well, who are the leaders, you know, in business intelligence? You know, who have the ability to execute, you know, on a vision, right? And who has, you know, the completeness of the vision, right? And if you look in the top right-hand corner, you're going to see the leaders, left is the challengers. And Microsoft is in the top right-hand corner. I think a lot has to do with our constant innovation, but also the ability to tie into all of the different programs within the Office 365 environment and actually work seamlessly together. Not just Office 365, but you can also tie in CRM, CRM Online, the new Dynamics 365, Azure, Internet of Things, and we've gone through a lot of different things in Azure that you can actually pull into a Power BI model. But what's really interesting is you take a look, and in the bottom left-hand corner, you kind of look at, you know, different organizations that have, you know, that may have gotten into the BI space, but Microsoft is really, you know, making that move to up and to the right of the magic quadrant, and that's really where you want to be. For the IT pro that is on the call, now this is what's really cool, okay, is that for the IT pro that is on the call right now, the methods that we provide, Power BI, and how you can actually put it together for your clients are extremely, extremely simple. And it really doesn't take a lot of technical background to actually create BI reports. In very simple, static BI reports can be created for Excel spreadsheets. So as you're thinking about evolving, and that's what we talk about on these calls, is how do you evolve in your marketplace? How do you evolve? How do you, you know, become a little bit, you know, different? And this is one of the ways. This is how you add something to a portfolio that you actually sell that you can really increase your margins significantly, right? So instead of just thinking about Office 365 licensing, thinking about the margin, the 10 or 20 or whatever percentage that you're actually getting, now you add Power BI into the mix. You actually, you know, learn a little bit about it. You can go to our Microsoft Virtual Academy and learn, you know, series 1 through 300, and you can start creating Power BI models for your clients that completely separate and differentiate yourself from the competition. You know, moving forward and tying this into Microsoft Community Connections is really about vertical marketing. That's really what it is. It's not the shotgun approach, right? It's finding associations that actually do something within, or that you understand what they do, business processes, let's say in accounting or retail or energy or water, any one of the association verticals. If you create a Power BI model behind one of those verticals because you know something inside that vertical that they need that nobody else can provide them, wow, now you have something, and now you're differentiating yourself from every other MSP out there. And that, I think, is what's really important to think about. All right, so, you know, there's powerful BI tools really for everybody. So one, you can scale, you can manage data across the enterprise, so you have that security piece of it, right? The neat thing is it also gives you self-service tools, you know, inside Power BI. And lastly, uncover deep insight and predict forward with advanced analytics. We've talked about advanced analytics, we talked about stream analytics on a previous call with Azure. And The piece that is really, I think, exciting for a lot of companies to hear about is being able to predict future results based on real-time instances within your whole company's environment, right? And the way to frame that is to think about, wait a minute, okay, let's say a sales, you know, we're averaging $100,000 sales, you know, we average, you know, 13 sales a year, but what happens to six-month projections if we land the big one? We land $1 million sale. Right? Well, that's going to change everything. Well, in the past, how could you change it? Because you didn't really have something that was inside tied into your systems that would be able to take that information. But now with, you know, advanced analytics and adding that feature to Power BI, wow, now you have a chance and the ability to predict 6 months out. Now, how important would you be to your client? Okay, if you change his perception or their perception of you, instead of just being the IT person taking care of their, you know, managed services and charging a monthly fee to make sure everything works, changing that from that person to a person who's actually really looking out for their interests and the growth of their business, right? Completely different choice. You know, you endear yourself to that company, and you provide yourself as an invaluable resource, and that's really what, you know, this type of technology really can help your organization out with. So the neat thing too is that, you know, within Power BI, you really have three different, you know, options here to connect. And you can do on-premise, you can do cloud, you can do devices, but you can also do the hybrid environment where you're taking data from your on-prem, you know, servers, but you're also taking data from the cloud, such as, you know, accounting type of software that's being stored in the cloud. But you need to tie that into the CRM and the marketing software that is on hybrid infrastructure, as well as that now you can also access all of that information from really any device because it's a cloud-based product. All right, so moving forward, and I know we're flying through this, but you'll have a recording of this afterwards. The neat thing about this is about Power BI is the ability and the ease of access to data, you know, big and small. You can find it, you can find the structure, the streaming, the unstructured. You can combine different data types. You can find the, you know, on-prem, right? We talked about that. The one that's streaming, the Internet of Things is another way to use Power BI and unstructured data that's coming in. And really simplify the management. The way I actually describe Power BI to a lot of, you know, end users, these are people that I'm just interacting with, is I tell them, hey, imagine the ability to be able to open up your tablet as soon as you wake up and just open it up, you know, your Surface tab and say, hey, let me go ahead and click on this one. Wait a minute. Wow, you know, things have changed in my business. We're being able to have a snapshot of your business in real time. Everything's moving. Just being connected to your business. And when I frame it that way to you know, potential clients, they are elated to hear about the ability to do that. Then I also say, well, now imagine that you have the command of your business. You know everything that's going on in real time, but now you can predict 6 months out. They're like, wow, unbelievable. So, you know, you have the ability to encompass all of these different types of data in the Power BI platform. Now, what I just talked about were these really powerful dashboards. And if you haven't seen it yet, this is kind of an example of it. But the neat thing is you can completely customize it and make them live in real time. So, you know, the one of the next compelling features is natural language query. In the past, you know, many years ago, in order for you to query a question about something, you wanted to know, you know, how many sales were in the Northwest quadrant, right? You'd have to, you know, be a programmer to, or you'd have to send that question to your program team to figure out how they're going to create a tool to get you that information. But now with Power BI, it's very interesting. You can actually utilize just natural language query. You can literally go search and say sales from October to November, Northeast West, and boom, it'll pop it up and bring it in. And then you can, you know, pin new visualizations. And I would suggest that as you know, a partner, utilizing your internal use rights is very important, and you know, Power BI is involved, is inside your internal use rights. So use it, try to create something, create a dashboard even for yourself and your own company, you know, have a better command. After you start using it and understanding it, that's when you can start selling it. All right, so I will look here. Audio is good. We have any questions? Any questions from the audience about Power BI? Put there. While we're waiting for anybody to type in, I want to ask Eric here. Eric, and I know we blew through that. You know, what experiences do you have when it comes to Power BI, types of conversations? Do you hear about it? Kind of give us your thoughts.
Yeah, actually, thanks for asking, Sherman, because this is something I've been actually waiting to dive into while you've been going through the presentation, because this is an area that I've worked in quite a bit, especially in the last, call it, you know, maybe 18 months. You know, business intelligence, you identified earlier, really used to be the purview of the really large Fortune 500 companies. You know, we used to see projects that were, you know, $100,000 to $1 million sized business intelligence projects. And what that's really done with Power BI is brought that down and made that scalable for the small and medium sized business today, so that they can get involved with a business intelligence solution that is budget friendly for them. Definitely seen it engaged with a lot of our Microsoft Dynamics ERP clients. But one of the things that you pointed out earlier with Power BI is that, of course, it is natively integrated with many solutions today. I believe I saw the number was about 2,000 out-of-the-box integrations that Microsoft's already got built for Power BI for a wide range of solutions. They include things like QuickBooks. So if somebody is a QuickBooks user, a small business QuickBooks user today, they can go ahead and leverage Power BI to begin analyzing some of the data from there. You touched on CRM, and of course, all of us are familiar with Microsoft CRM, but of course, there are other tools out there, and some of those already have integrations as well. So lots of capabilities for business intelligence, or certainly within the Microsoft stack of solutions, but certainly outside that as well.
That's really good insight. That really is awesome. So, you know, what was interesting is that we had one of the questions, and Derek mentioned, you know, about content from the partner profitability playbooks. So it is, however, for this particular call, what I wanted to do is actually provide a little more insight about Power BI. So I grabbed one of our Power BI decks and actually integrated it into this presentation. Now, with that, one of the ideas is actually this particular presentation is actually in the aka.ms/MCC Power, which actually has all of our PowerPoint presentations. So if you want to have just one on Power BI, we're happy to help you out. All right, so Brian basically says, you know, what is a typical implementation data sources for small or medium sized businesses? Now, Eric, I mean, let's talk about that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think we just hit on, you know, QuickBooks a moment ago. Certainly any small businesses are out there, they're using QuickBooks. They may be in a position where, for those of us who are in the Microsoft Dynamics ERP space, we're trying to get them out of QuickBooks, but they're still on it at some point. We may initially engage with them, and we may want to show them that, you know, with Power BI, they could go ahead and get started with that and begin to get some type of analytics out of there. Excel spreadsheets. I mean, look, a lot of clients use Excel. You can integrate Excel data into Power BI and start to convert that and make that much more visual, as well as merging that data with, again, other data sources. So we might see a scenario where they have some data in a CRM tool. They might have some data in a marketing automation tool like Constant Contact. They might have data in those Excel spreadsheets I mentioned a moment ago. And now what we want to try and do is create a complete picture for them of the activity that's taking place with their customers around all of the information that's stored in all of those separate islands of information that exist within their organization today.
Yeah, I think in the other thing to kind of noodle over to really think about is not necessarily having to have like stream analytics for small to medium sized business. What if we were to actually put together a program which it would include, some of the Excel spreadsheets they have, some of their CRM data they have, but yeah, marketing data, right? You know, how are their campaigns doing? And then you tie in accounting. So you can do a lot of little things that they're doing. Derek basically mentioned that he's doing stuff with connecting to Google Analytics. There's a lot of different programs. If you're using Office Mix,
right now for all of your presentations. And if you have those presentations put into the association website, you could create a Power BI modeler that would pull those data analytics from Office Mix into a web format. You can see which campaigns or which associations are actually sending their members and which members are actually watching this type of thing. So you can do a lot. And I think you don't have to have it in just a large scale. I think there's something to be said to be able to create it for everyone. Next is, Brian said, well, how about, social media data? Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways to bring in. And what's really neat about Power BI too is that there are a lot of, pre-configured plugins. So APIs have already been written. And if you typically have a sign-in information, you literally go to Power BI, you click on, import data, and it'll come up with, a bunch of different buttons, one being QuickBooks, one being, different types of analytic tools. You click on that and you sign in, and that's when it starts pulling the data. So you have to assign it and do that. So it's great. And Eric, would you agree with me that they should be using their IURs to actually maybe even create their own BI platform for their office?
Absolutely, and that you were just dovetailing right into what I was thinking a moment ago. Start with your IUR, begin with your internal use rights, and look at what you can do internally, because it's a great way to start using your own data sources and sort of eat your own dog food, if you will. But the other big thing here, and you've got it up on the screen there, is whether you are a managed services partner today, whether you are an Office 365 partner, whether you're a Dynamics partner, whatever it is, there's an opportunity here for you with Power BI and for you to be able to create package solutions that are then giving you the ability to provide something to your customers. Use Power BI as a tool to open doors for you as a way to differentiate yourself from other typical IT services organizations that are out there. If you can come up with something that allows you to share information to your customers about the status of their infrastructure because you're a managed services partner, those are things that they may not be getting from other organizations that are out there, and Power BI could potentially be a great tool to put together a package solution like that.
So the next question really comes up, and Derek says, can you use Stream Analytics and get social sentiment? I'm not going to say yes or no, you can't do that. But one of the neat things I can say is that with Power BI and creating your own APIs and streaming, analytics, yes, you can do a lot of different things. And that would be something that, as a partner, you'd have to research and figure out how to do. But I think absolutely, any type of structured or unstructured type of data can be put together in a Power BI model to gain insight, because that's really what you're trying to do. You're trying to gain insight on something. What's working, what's not working, and how do we change, right? Derek says, from a technical standpoint, you could do technical dashboards like Exchange Health by connecting to an Exchange server with Power BI. Yes, you can. Another application. Fantastic. Thank you, Derek, very much for putting that up there. Really do appreciate it. All right. So, if you look at the business intelligence partner opportunity, the main thing you have to think about is really understanding what the compound annual growth rate scenario really is, and $16.55 billion you're going to see in a spend $16.65 billion. So big data spent that in 2014, and with a 26.24% compound annual growth rate. So it's exploding, right? But a lot of the niche startups are actually quite expensive, and Power BI pretty much comes with some of the other cloud products that you actually procure. So one of the things to figure out and kind of insights to maximize the profitability piece really comes around understanding and clarifying business processes within a vertical market. Okay, so if you're in the medical field, you got to start asking, if you have a lot of medical clients, you need to start asking them what type of data is important to you, and do you understand it? And if you had a perfect world where you could see insight on different business processes, would you like that? So it's understanding your clients is really number one. The next thing to really help you with maximizing profitability is combining it with SharePoint to really maximize the potential that you can have and really increase the efficiency aspect of the application that you're creating. So, you know, SharePoint's great because it's a place where, you know, it's basically the intranet where you're storing and grabbing everything. People are updating things on a real-time basis, and you can use a Power BI model to grab that information. And then, you know, the next thing is to always fill in some sort of managed servicing offerings and creating your own IP. And that's really, you know, where the value that we see, you know, for business intelligence. Now, we always kind of go over, you know, project services, managed services, and packaged IP. And, you know, on a project-based service, if you're a client on Power BI, if you understand business processes, this is where you're going to excel and actually make that 35% profit margin. You can charge a lot of money for helping a customer understand what type of information and actually putting the whole thing together. Where we see an increase in revenue, 43%, is when, you know, partners are actually creating a BI, right? Actually charging a monthly recurring fee on top of the BI they created. But where the real increase in potential, you know, margins really comes is creating your own package. And we basically just talked all about creating these different packages here that are going to help you. But we're going to go over the package of the week here in a little bit, and that's really about called packaged IP. We want to separate ourselves. We want to create something that is for a specific industry, right, that we can sell, repeat, and then also do it nationally, okay? So creating a packaged IP is not gonna only help you with an increased profit margin, but it's also gonna be able to help you increase the ability to make income and revenue outside of your current geographic area, and that's what's really important. Finding a way that you can actually sell the products and services you do outside of your geographic area, right, and to scale. If you're an MSP that is focusing on rip and replace and network monitoring, you're only as big as your area that you're in, because you get to a certain point, you have to start hiring a lot more or highly technical people, and it really kind of slows down the potential growth rate. However, if you create a packaged IP scenario, you know, entry into market is actually a lot less than, you know, hiring 10, 12, 13 different technicians and sending them out to help for managed services. You can build it, you can put it together, and now you can sell it. And you can sell it and repeat it, and you can become an expert at that one particular thing or those three packages instead of just having a pretty good knowledge of all different types of data. All right. So moving to the next slide, I think what we want to do is go into, we want to go into asking Eric about, you know, his potential ability to provide better insight really with MCC. So I'm going to pass it over to Eric here. Now, Eric, I think the first thing I'd like to ask you the question about really is, can you kind of just give us the background of the years you've been in MCC, what you think of MCC, and kind of, you know, where you are 3 years ago to where you are today, and how you think it all works?
Sure, Sherman. So as I mentioned, I started with Microsoft Community Connections in the era before Sherman, the BS era before Sherman, and now we're in the Sherman era. And what Sherman really obviously brought to the program is a combination of really figuring out how to leverage it, how to monetize the Community Connections program, and really also extend it above and beyond where it had previously been. So, you know, where we find ourselves today is a radically different place than we were 3 years ago, where we're trying to figure out how do we engage with associations and other nonprofit influencer organizations. The chambers of commerce were probably some of the earliest areas for us to get started with. But at the same time, we discovered that they might not be the easiest to monetize. So we've kind of gone through a number of iterations around that and tried to find different ways to work with the folks that are out there and engage with those. And the program that ultimately exists for partners today, the Project Lead Gen program, really is the distillation of a lot of hard work, a lot of trial and error that took place over the years as we all went through iterations of trying to figure out what is good, what is the right way to do things, and hopefully everybody benefits from the mistakes that we made along the way as well. You don't have to do the same things that we did. So that's the big opportunity, I think, for a lot of folks. And then at the end of the day, this is a long-term strategy. And this is something that's important for projects, or I should say for partners to understand. This is really about branding your business, branding your organization in the business community. And so from that standpoint, whether that's a local organization, whether that's a vertical market association, it's great to drive some opportunities. And if you can do that with early successes, that's fantastic. But the real opportunity and the real thing to think about with Microsoft Community Connections and Project Lead Gen is that this is really part of your overall marketing strategy. In fact, it may be your entire marketing strategy. I've certainly seen partners where that was the case. And that is definitely one way to go about it. If you can monetize it satisfactorily enough for yourself, then it's a great way to go. Otherwise, it may be part of your overall marketing strategy, but at the end of the day, it definitely should be part of your strategy at one way, shape, or form or another. Whether you do a little, whether you do a lot, that's really up to you. But it is something that I think can benefit every partner that's out there. And really at the same time, give you some important information about where you're going as an organization also. In terms of some of the things that I've done personally, I've worked with a wide range of organizations and associations. Many people know that I work here in Orange County, California with the Orange County SCORE chapter, and I've partnered with a lot of Microsoft partners to deliver successful workshops with those. With the SCORE folks. I've also worked with a life sciences organization, since I've focused extensively in life sciences over the past several years, and also a craft brewing organization. So there are vertical markets that you can tap into that are available through you as a partner if that's something that fits your business. And that's really the key. What are those organizations that are going to be a fit for you? I will say, and I kind of alluded to this a moment ago, the chambers of commerce are a great way to take the baby step and get started. I think it's difficult to monetize the chambers of commerce. If you get into the larger organizations and business associations that are out there, it becomes much more easy, I guess I'll say, to try and monetize what you're doing from that standpoint, because you're typically dealing with a bit larger organizations, maybe much larger organizations, and they've got the dollars to spend and they've got IT budgets. So I think that that's a better approach for partners. That's sort of been one of the hard lessons that we had to learn out of the program in the early years.
So let me ask you this. You know, this is a sales and marketing motion, right? That's what it is. You would agree with that, right, Eric? This
Absolutely.
Is sales,
you know,
and marketing.
You've got to be comfortable in providing the presentations that we're talking about here to a group of folks. So whether that's two people or 20 people or 200 people, that's going to vary depending upon the organization that you're working with and the level of engagement that you can drive for them. But the sales side of this is definitely, I would say, the presentation piece. And then, of course, once you have delivered the presentation, you have probably some follow-on marketing that you're going to do around that. And then hopefully that's going to drive some lead generation for you, and you're going to engage your particular selling process as well, whatever that might be. And hopefully you're tracking that in a CRM tool, but that's a whole nother conversation for another day.
So you've been discouraged, you know, about it. What can you tell the partners who, you know, maybe send out, you know, 20 emails, they're only getting one person to respond, it's not the right association, they potentially kind of give up on it. What would your advice be to the partners who are feeling discouraged about it?
You know, I think it's like anything else. You've got to put the work in, and you're going to get better at it as you do more of it. As I said, you know, it took us a long time to figure out how to monetize the program. And I think we've only recently gotten good at doing that, to the point where we're now driving opportunities and finding leads out of virtually every workshop that we're doing. Whereas in the early years, that just was not the case. So I think we've gotten a lot better about it, but it's taken a long time to really figure some of these pieces out. And that's the opportunity for you guys who are on the call today, is to leverage that knowledge that those of us who've been doing this for a long time have brought to it. In terms of, look, I've had, you know, events that I've done where I've marketed it, I've put it out there, I've had nobody show up. You know, you put in all the time, all the effort, you build out a presentation, you practice doing your presentation, you show up at your location, and there's nobody there. I've also had scenarios where I've had quite a few folks there. It's a crapshoot. You never know how it's going to hit with the folks that you're marketing it to. I will say this with respect to, you know, even if there's two people out there. A couple of years ago, I had an event we did where literally two people showed up for the event, but one of those people was qualified, and it turned into a six-figure opportunity and ultimately closed with the partner that I was with at that point in time. So just because two people show up doesn't mean you're not going to be able to monetize that. So don't get discouraged if only two people show up. If you got the right two people there, you may be doing just fine.
That's some great insight. Now, you utilize this program a little bit differently as opposed to, you know, doing all these different technology seminars. You utilize this program in the partnering aspect, and I think that's a really compelling message to send across to other people that are on this call. How do you partner, and how do you do, I mean, explain to us a little bit. Explain to me. I'd like to know.
Absolutely. So I will say that, you know, I have spent the past 20 years focused on ERP and CRM solutions. That dovetailed into the business intelligence world. And now I've gotten much more involved with Office 365 and some of the related solutions there. But at the end of the day, the primary focus for me today is still from a lead generation standpoint around ERP and CRM. And so when I look at the presentations and the content that's out there, I can only deliver a small piece of the possible IT landscape that's out there that customers and prospects are interested in hearing about. And so what I've done is work extensively with other partners here. I'll give a big plug to the IAMCP, the International Association of Microsoft Channel Partners, especially here in Southern California. We've got an amazing, amazing group of partners. And in fact, we're doing our annual golf tournament tomorrow. Another quick shout out for that. But I've leveraged that to build relationships with other Microsoft partners who can deliver content around other areas in the Microsoft stack. And so, for example, just this Saturday, I did a workshop working with the Mission Viejo Microsoft Store, and we did that working with Manish Bahardia and with Eddie Bader, focused on cybersecurity. That's a great example of the type of things we can do. We had about, I think, 8 or 10 people who showed up for that on a Saturday. We've got a series of these that we're doing now. We've got 6 of them scheduled between now and Thanksgiving. And we're going to have different topics. We're going to focus on collaboration tools in Office 365 next. We're going to do one on CRM for me. We've got a whole range of these that we're going to be rolling out. And this is just the very beginning of doing these. My plan, hopefully, is to scale this out and begin working with some of the other Microsoft Store locations here in Southern California and extend the content and the topics as we go into 2017. But it's all about the partnering. It's all about having great partners that I can work with who can deliver some of that content. You know, Sherman talks about, you know, you need to be able to deliver 12 different presentations, and I always argue with him about this one because I don't think you personally need to be able to deliver 12 topics. You need to find good partners that you can work with who can help you put together those 12 presentations and maybe some above and beyond that as well. One of the other things that we've found is that you can still become the industry expert If you can bring in other topics that maybe aren't as directly related to you, I've done topics on social media. Now, do I get a whole lot of business out of doing a social media presentation to a room full of people? Not directly, in terms of, it's not like I'm getting anything for promoting Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, but you know what? There's integration between social media platforms like that and CRM. And usually what I'll do is dovetail part of the conversation and part of the presentation into CRM, so that now we're talking about something that's relevant to me. I think that's something that all of us can look at. How can you take some topics that might be a little bit outside your comfort zone and bring them into an area where you are more comfortable, or at least an area where you can drive some business opportunity for you?
That's awesome. Yeah, there's a bunch of ways to conduct business. And yes, Eric and I do conversations about, hey, you know, my opinion is that, you know, you're a technologist, so you should know a little bit about this, is your industry, right? However, we do have specialists here, though, and I can respect that. And, you know, Eric has made a believer of me in saying, hey, Sherman, I'm going to do it a little bit differently. And a team of people, and I think that really works well. But I think, you know, if you want to just kind of recap a couple of things that are important, is that sales and marketing, you got to do it every day. You got to keep working at it. If you get discouraged, don't worry about it. Keep it going. Brian actually has a comment here. He just posted here. It's basically saying, well, how do you salvage an event that has low attendance? And I think Eric just described it as that any attendance is more attendance than you had, maybe. And if, you know, if one other person shows up for it and they think, gosh, you know, this is great, I want to talk to you, well, you're providing thought leadership. The way I would do it is, after the actual presentation, is I'd go back to the president or CEO of the organization you're working with and say, look, you know, part of this Community Connections Initiative is that we really need you to drive attendance. And with that, please make sure that you're sending it out at least twice a week. You have it on your calendar. But Brian, I think one of the most innovative ways of getting of making this really work and monetizing it is, you know, recording your webinars, all 12 of them in Office Mix, and then providing them to the organization for them to put it on their education website. Think about this, 24 hours, 365, 7 days a week, free advertising for all of their members. We've had a dramatic shift. A couple years ago, it used to be 70% wanted it live and 30% wanted on demand, right? Now it's changed. It's 70% of customers want on demand and 30% want live. So, you know, that would help you. That would help you significantly if you spend the time to create your webinars and put it on the association and actually do that. The other thing that I really respect about Eric is that he has done a really great job at, you know, continuing his efforts to add more and more associations or business organizations to his prospecting list. You don't want to stop at one or stop at two. You want to continue to go forward that. All right, so let's look at a couple of frequently asked questions. I'm going to throw them over to Eric. So Eric, you know, I hear this a lot, and you probably do too. You know, what do you do if partners cannot register events because of something that's broken?
So I guess a couple of perspectives on that. First off, I'm not quite clear on the question. I can't register an event. Do people, I guess I'll ask the question back, but do people understand that, you know, there's actually two sides of the event registration setup on there? If you can't register it as a partner, you can register it and you can use the as an association or organization, the nonprofit registration page. Yep. I'll cheat and I'll tell you guys that that's the one that I use for most of my events. It's simpler, it's easier to use. You can go ahead and do it that way. It still gets into the system for Sherman and eGen, and it's a little bit easier to go at. If you can't, for some reason, maybe there's some kind of technical issue with the site, go ahead and email out to eGen. She'll be happy to work with you to get the event registered. This is part of their metrics, guys. So at the end of the day, it is very important to register your events, which I see is the second question. Should I register my events and why? Absolutely, you should. It's important for Sherman and eGen. They need the tracking around this stuff. It's important for Microsoft in general. You know, visibility to this goes all the way up the chain within Microsoft. I don't know how many people are aware of that, but the Community Connections Program, Project Lead Gen, this is something that has very high visibility within Microsoft. It's incredibly important for all of us to register all of our events. So if you've got something going on, whether it is something that maybe came up at the spur of the moment, register it. Please get it in there for them. It makes things much better and,
awesome.
And really is great for that. If it pops up at the last minute, it's still great. And just a quick note on that, but even if you're doing it at the last minute, if you let YiGen know, they can still get you the software for the giveaway. You may not have it, you know, in your hand as you're going out to the event, but you can still get it registered. They'll still get it to you after the fact, and you can tell the people at the event that you're going to give away a copy of Office 2016 or Office 365 Home, whatever mm-hmm. it is that you want to be able to give away out of the stack there. But they'll get it to you one way or the other, and you can tell the people at the event that you're just going to email it to them after the fact. So I've certainly done that. I've literally been at the event. I've forgotten to register it. I had this happen earlier this year. I got really busy and I forgot, and I called up YiGen and let her know, I'm sitting at the event, I totally forgot, I'm bad, but can we get this thing done right now? And they took care of me. So really, really great for them to be able to help.
Yeah, not the business practice that we want you to do every time. However, yes, and I also have codes. I also have a list of codes that I can help out with, and I wanna, you know, for last minute types of things. And then, you know, chambers or associations? Tell me, what are your quick thoughts on that?
I kind of touched on this earlier. Chambers are great as the baby step. Pick one that's maybe near to you, wherever your business is located. And, you know, if you can get your foot in that door, don't expect to drive much in the way of opportunity and revenue out of it. But as you're getting started, it's not a bad way to do it and get yourself comfortable, especially if you're not comfortable doing presentations. If you're somebody who comes to this more of a technologist than a marketing and salesperson, then that might be a great way to build your confidence up and get started with the program before you dive over to the other side. But I will say, when it comes to monetization and really driving opportunity out of Project LeadGen and MCC, associations are the place to play. You do get the bigger businesses involved in the associations, and there's just dollars to spend there that you're not going to find in most chambers of commerce. And I want to jump back to one question in there.
Uh-huh.
Who should I reach out to if I can't get a hold of Sherman for some reason? Please reach out to YiGen if you can't get a hold of Sherman for some reason. But feel free to reach out to me. Feel free to reach out to Brian and Numa. I heard Brian's on the call. Manish, Eddie Bader, any of us. We've put together what we're calling the partner consortium. All of us who are doing MCC events today, and we're happy to work with you to help you guys get ramped up. If you're unsure of how to do this, if for some reason you can't get a hold of Sherman and YiGen, all of us are more than happy to work with you and try and help you. We look at this as a big benefit to the community as a whole, and we're here to support all of you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. So let's just, you know, we started a little late, so we're going to run over a few more minutes after this. But let's go back into the expectations for PLG partners. So, you know, some of the expectations is we really need you to complete the training modules. Very simple. Go ahead and go through it so you understand it. We need to have your registration so that we can authorize all the different software that we provide you. And we really need you to understand what we're trying to do, which is trying to build a sales and marketing engine at scale. And that's really what the thing is. So please, you know, go to aka.ms/readytogo/PLG, download the resources, watch the videos, and figure out how to do it. When you figure out, the very first one talks about sending out emails. You know, we need to have a lot more activity so we can get more events done. More events means more leads means more sales, and it really comes down to selling, really. That's what you're here to learn about. You know, we want you to schedule a minimum of 12 different events per year, you know, and attend these partner profitability calls. So, you know, some of the benefits is really to get included in MCC events that we actually schedule, that I'm involved with, get included for software funding for partnerships. And what I mean by that is having a conference that comes up and they say, well, we want, you know, $1,000 to have a booth there. Well, maybe get me involved in MCC or YiGen. And if you're, you know, part of the program and you've completed the steps, I'm willing to step in and happy to take a look at it and assess the event, whether I want to fund it fiscally or I want to maybe negotiate with them to provide some extra software so you can, you know, booth the event and, you know, basically have us as access. But really what this really helps is what we're talking about, this new initiative. I know this is really, really small and it's hard to look at, but what I want to show you is that the number of associations we recently looked at. So I raised my hand and I was like, why don't we have enough partners doing a series of 12 events? What's going on? And we found out that we have over 330 associations and chambers and councils throughout the Western U.S. And this may be like 90% in California that have signed up for something with Microsoft. However, there's not many partners that are attached to it. So that's a big miss. And it's a big miss that we have a lot of you on the call that are not doing this. It's a big miss that we haven't put it together. So we're going to help the partners out that are on this. And how are we going to do it? So what Yijian and I are going to do is every Tuesday, same time, same call, we're actually going to invite some of these associations to our Tuesday afternoon call, and we're going to talk to them about the program. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go down through our partner list and see who's completed all of the prerequisites, and then get you involved and pair you in with the association. So we want to do that. We want to help you out. And then you know, what we also want to do is provide you access to those calls. So it's the same link that you're on today, but on Tuesday at 10 a.m. We're going to have a half hour setup. So if you're scheduling new calls, new partners, new influencers, please send them to that that invite, or send that invite to the actual influencer. Have them come onto the call, and Yijian and myself will take it from there. We'll help you get everything scheduled. But we have so many here, but we need to ensure that the partners have completed the actual results. All right, so Jay puts in here, how about developing our following and inviting them along for the ride? eBlast highlights after the event, because when the business influencer doesn't want to manage the crowd, you can bring in bring them in. I think what Jay's trying to say here is the second half of PLG, which is really about how to monetize your events. And that's, you have to be creating that email distribution list. You have to be working on that list. You have to be sending them out stuff every month. That's the only way this works. If you just do events, or you stop before you even do events, you're not gonna make this program work. You have to continually work the list that you're, you know, being in front of, sending them emails and notifications and updates, and making sure that you see them you know, once a month. I mean, that's what the program is about. And if you're not doing the second step, you know, it really could be against your best nature. All right, package of the week. We said we're going to talk about this. So package of the week, how do we make more money? So I decided to change it up or add a few more things. And really, package of the week is MSP Tier 1 services. We talked about this last week. You can get it anywhere between $6 and $15 a month. You can charge $40 or $50, right, to have, you know, a triage account. Don't have them like actually work on the network. All you have them there is for a triage account, and to allow your customers to feel, you know, better about being able to get a hold of you. You tag in Office 365 E3 Edition, because it's the enterprise, it's $20 a SKU. It's a bigger margin for you. And then you also provide EMS, which is the Enterprise Mobility Plus Security. The security aspect of this package is one of the highlights, in that what you're going to describe and provide to your clients, and that's using, you know, multi-factor authentication, access identity rights, as well as, you know, potentially storing their infrastructure in the cloud. But EMS is definitely part of this program. Now, you take Power BI. What are we going to do with Power BI that's going to help us make money, and what type of package? So what I want to do kind of on a grand scale, without talking about vertical markets, you have to think, okay, we're going to combine their accounting and their CRM data. Or we're going to combine their accounting, their marketing, right, and, you know, their financials or Excel spreadsheet. So what you want to do is create something. This is part of your package that you're going to tell the customer, this is what we're going to do. Then you're going to create a BI portal for them, and you're going to, and that portal is going to be rich visual formats and working with them. And then you're going to, part of the package is managing the data and the resources. And then lastly, the biggest part of the package is, not the biggest, but the really important one is training. Training them on how to understand business process, and potentially identifying ways to increase their sales and revenue by looking at raw data and actually processing it. So that's the package of the week. I hope you guys like it and understand it. We will have this available. Last thing is partner resources. I'm going to have the deck available. We're going to finish this out. Cloud Enablement Desk is for partners who do not have competencies and looking to obtain their Silver Cloud competencies. They're a great resource. You can go ahead and nominate yourself for that. The Acceleration Desk is another great resource you can be a part of, but you already have to have competencies already. Really important. Lastly is the partner resources. We have online technical trainings and anything from Azure, Skype for Business, Dynamics, technical deep dives, overviews, we have them available. And lastly, we have SMB Live coming up. We have some partner briefings. The partner briefings are coming up. We have LA, San Diego, and Irvine coming up this week. So we're gonna be traveling. We're gonna see all the different cities come to the partner briefing. Justin Slagle's putting that together. Then we also have the SMB Lives. If you haven't been to the SMB Lives, you need a refresher. This year is different. Okay, you have sales and marketing on the first day, and you have technical resources on the second day. Go register for that. If you don't have the registration links for either one of them, send Ejen and myself an email. We will send them to you. So lastly, I want to turn it back to Eric, say thank you so much, Eric. Really appreciate your time and effort. I really appreciate you being here. You have any last thoughts that you want to provide to the audience?
My one last thought is next week is also the launch of Dynamics 365. Two of the solutions you had in your stack there are part of Dynamics 365. So partners should be looking for coming attractions around that and the big announcements next week around Dynamics 365.
All right. Now, we have golf tomorrow. Golf tomorrow, IMCP at the Tustin Ranch golf course. If you're not already signed up, send an email to Michelle Hollis.
Send it to me.
Or to Eric. Send it right now. Send him an email. Say, let's go and meet us there. I'll be there after 2:30. Anyways, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate everything. And, have a great day today. We'll see you next Monday with Justin Slagle. He's our next guest speaker. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Woo.